Don't start the episode dropping something. We're recording.
Oh,
what
no.
kind of outfit is this?
Absolutely.
Right, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, sir. How
Perfect.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine, apart from this rotten cold.
Yeah, I just sniffed again. Last week, I must apologise. I'm so sorry, Mark. I sniffed and slurped.
I know. So unprofessional.
Well, we've never pretended to be anything else, have we?
No, we've never pretended to be professional.
You did press record in time for us to start, didn't you? Good. I realised that we hit record there, and then you dropped that and I started.
Yeah, right. Let's go as if nobody heard.
Welcome to episode 19.
Now, that was very good, considering it's not up on the screen.
Yeah, so for those listening on audio only, we are sat in the other set.
Ooh.
We're sat in the corner. What do you think?
It's very nice, isn't it? A nice, gentle podcast atmosphere.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. No, it's pretty good.
Yeah, so we didn't have the TV screen, obviously, in this one.
No, so I saw you see. Think. I saw the cogs turning going 17, 8, 19.
Yeah. And I've just remembered this light in the corner. For some reason, this one seems to do its own thing.
Yeah, just pulsates. It's very nice, isn't it?
I'm just looking at the others.
They all don't do what that one's doing.
Yeah. Alina, sorry, bit of housekeeping while we're here. Could you go over there, select 1, 2, 3, and 4, and set them all to say blue? And we'll see if it works. Yeah, that one seems to have a mind of its own.
Oh, that
own
one's gone off.
Has it?
That one's gone off there now.
I don't know. I can't keep up. Yeah. They're all wild. They're incredible.
Yeah, they're very clever.
That one just seems to be cycling through. We'll leave it going.
We'll leave it going.
That's quite
fine.
Nice.
Ooh, coffee.
Coffee, yes. So, how has your week been?
Very busy. Onboarding Mr. Orange Sales and Lettings.
Fantastic.
Mr. David. So, yep. Hopefully getting his Microsoft 365, getting going today.
No, you're using Teams.
I'm using Teams. What was interesting is that I spoke to David yesterday and said that, fingers crossed, because he's got a couple of things that we need to resolve, but fingers crossed we're getting his emails moved over, which he's very excited about. And he went, oh, I've been talking to Adam. I can't wait to start using Teams.
Yeah, don't shut up. As people can tell who listen regularly, we do not shut
that
up.
That one listener things. Called Mark.
Yeah, Mark. He
Hello,
was great,
Mark.
Wasn't he?
Hi, Mark. Shout out to Mark. Chucking Mark.
Yeah, he was sharing the posts and things I've seen.
Does he? Well,
seen wow. across the socials, yeah. Yes. So, yeah. Hello,
Mark.
Oh,
did I miss
Mark.
My chance, Alina? Sorry.
Oh, for the smile. Oh, she did that quickly.
I know.
You?
I missed it as well, but yeah, I fitted it in.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, well, that sounds like a good week.
How about your week, sir?
Yeah, good. I was in a film. In a school. I was in a
what
school.
What film? When's it coming out?
Yeah, exactly. I wish. I was in a school filming yesterday. That was brilliant. Never been to that school. They had a school dog.
Pardon?
They had a school dog.
A school pooch.
Yeah, called Jeffrey.
That's not a common pooch name.
I've never come across a Jeffrey.
No, did he look like a Jeffrey?
I'd say so.
You'd say so.
No offence to any Jeffreys.
No, absolutely. But,
no, he was a very, very happy Jeffrey.
And what make and model?
A Spaniel.
A Spaniel?
A Spaniel, yeah. Yeah, so that was brilliant. It's like
very good.
Yeah.
Local school.
Yeah, in Darlington. So yeah, absolutely brilliant. And what else have we been doing? All sorts. Headshots. Headshots.
What, snipers?
Yeah. 100%. No, flurry your headshots again. So, studio headshots. Obviously, new year, time for your photograph taken.
We're getting some headshots done shortly for our little cyber security campaign.
You are. Yes, I'm looking forward to that. More news on that cyber as we go. I'm really excited about it.
Yes. Have you noticed?
I know. I have a sheet of paper in front of me. I can see the word ubiquity at the top, so I get... Right, we are going to geek out, okay?
We are so geeking out. I thought it was the lights, but it's the...
it's the light. It's obviously reflecting off something as the train goes past. We know I get distracted by trains. I was back at that rugby club on Sunday with the Mighty Under Nines.
And how did the Mighty Under Nines do?
They did brilliant. But it was the same rugby club with the trains going past. And I was refereeing, and I didn't get distracted once.
Oh,
so
round of applause
I've redeemed myself.
Round of applause, sir. Round
right,
of applause.
What have you been doing here?
Oh, I've been doing my homework yet again.
So we agreed that we were going to talk about networks. That's the theme this week, isn't it?
That's the theme this week, sir.
Okay. So, there's lots of SSI. Right, okay.
Okay. So we're going to go deep this week.
Shall we? Yeah, well, let's start in the shallows.
Let's start in the shallows.
So tell me.
Okay. The most common thing that everybody has is a router at home, and they will have Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, no downsides about that. I think everybody's used to Wi-Fi. Everybody expects Wi-Fi. Even when people go around to your house, they expect Wi-Fi without signing up for the T's and C's.
Yeah, so for those people that might have missed, I have dabbled in networking, what we're going to go into today. And if you're at my house, which has horrendously slow internet, I say, please feel free to use our horrendously slow internet. And I make them tick a box saying terms and conditions because I was messing around. I forgot to turn it off.
And you still haven't.
And I still haven't turned it off.
It's fun though, isn't it?
It looks good. People go, ooh. Yeah, they got like see a window and a picture. And,
Yeah, exactly. And but yeah, everybody has Wi-Fi at home.
Yes.
And probably the most common problem I hear is people going, why is my Wi-Fi slow and I can't get Wi-Fi in the kitchen?
Yes.
Or I can't get Wi-Fi here. Or I can't get Wi-Fi here. And then the whole ensemble starts with people trying to extend it, people trying to do extra things, move the router, etc.
Yeah. So what and I quite often is also understood as my internet is slow, and it might not be the internet. Like in my case, my internet is slow.
Yeah. The other most common misconception that I get is I'm connected to the Wi-Fi, but I have no internet. I'm like, yeah. So your device is connected to your router, but if your router doesn't have internet, then you're connected, but you've got no internet.
Yeah.
And people assume that, well, I'm connected, so I must have Wi-Fi. I must have internet. Well, no, that's not generally the case. So again, what I thought I'd do is we'd start in the shallows, as you quite rightly said, and move to Mr. Hubspoke with his Hubspoke terms and conditions guest hotspot at home.
Yeah.
But some of the other things that people... probably when, you know, if they've got they've got Wi-Fi and they want to extend it, you know, they'll probably be bamboozled with the meshing and
this is probably the big thing, isn't it? I suppose out of everything with networks, especially home networks, it's a bit different when you come to work because usually it's been sorted out by somebody.
Unless
you're a small business and you don't have an Andy.
Yeah.
If you do have an Andy, the Andy has sorted it out.
Yeah, exactly.
But at home, different ball games, isn't it?
No, it is a different ballgame, and we'll go on to a couple of things that I want to constantly say to people about, you know, if you can use cable, if you can do this, do this. You know, nowadays, I mean, okay, here's a question for you. How many devices do you think you have at home that's connected to your network?
That's a bit of a loaded question because I can look.
I can look, but come on.
Yeah, okay.
On the spot.
10 to 15.
Wow. So, yeah. Last count, I had 50.
Did you? Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, actually, we had some voice automated devices, and we've stopped that. We've gone back to a traditional radio.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've actually, ironically, tried to go a bit more offline in my personal life because I spend so much time online at work. So
you've gone digital-less.
I've got like an alarm clock.
Yep.
Not my phone. I've talked about this before. My phone goes in charge in the other end of the house.
Yeah.
So
I'm completely the opposite. I use my phone for everything.
Yeah, well, I was like, actually, I can get this thing called an alarm clock. It's been around for years. They're brilliant. But then I pressed snoozed on that too much and made me late for this podcast.
Very true.
So the new solution, and it's something I used to always do, radio. I'd have the radio radio click on. Now, I could set that up with a voice-activated device, I know, but I wanted a radio clock, and it's also got a little charging pad to put your phone on.
Ah, very good, but you don't use it because your phone's in the other room.
Exactly, but I use it in the thing. So the radio clicks on now early, reasonable volume, and it generally wakes you up. It's also a charging hub, so it's again...
It's really good, yeah.
Through the way. So I use it for different purposes in terms of not just waking up, like I need the clock, I need the radio. It was just getting ridiculous. So this is kind of nicely condensed it. So that's why I've got less internet devices.
We've got more. So I'm completely the opposite. So the 6 o'clock alarm or the 5:30 alarm goes off and I'll say the word Alexa because if anybody's listening, it's now gone, what?
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Order pizza.
So the Alexa device wakes up. It slowly turns the lights on, so every couple of minutes it just slowly intensifies the brightness of the bedroom light. It automatically turns the coffee machine and the kettle on and automatically disarms my home alarm.
I like that.
It's good, isn't it? Just by waking up, it does all that
for
me.
Yeah. No, I do like that. I think, to be honest, specifically around devices, I've actually More the distancing's actually happened around the bed.
Yes, time. I see what you mean.
Situation. During the day, obviously, there's,
there's millions
all sorts of tech flying about.
But my 50 devices includes things. And we'll go on to that at the end of it when we go.
Please don't tell me your fridge is connected.
No, my fridge is not connected. But I've got motion detectors. I've got Wi-Fi enabled lights. So when I wake up and obviously I walk into the bathroom, the light turns on automatically because it's motion sensors. When I go downstairs, the lights follow me. And then they automatically turn off after 30 seconds.
Someone stood outside in the street can go, where's Andy? Oh, there he is. And just follow the lights through the windows.
It's like a Pac-Man. It's just like a Pac-Man.
From the outside, it'll look great.
Yeah, it'll look great. Fantastic. But yeah, so I've completely the opposite. So 50 devices on my Wi-Fi network, but obviously that means it's congested.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are going to talk about how you can split that out. But the majority of the people, they'll get a BT, they'll get a Sky, whatever they are. There are other mix and models out there, Plusnet, Virgin. They'll basically get their router, they'll shove it in a corner out of the way because nobody wants to see it.
Yeah.
And then they've got Wi-Fi. And then we just get, well, why can't I get Wi-Fi in the kitchen? Why can't I get Wi-Fi upstairs? Why can't I do that? Why is my internet so slow? So I think from that point of view, I would say for the majority of people, it's fine. You know, just plug it in. It will work. Thankfully, most of the routers nowadays come with a unique password for the Wi-Fi, whereas previously it was all the same or logins are all the same.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to start with going on. A lot of people, you know, like, what is my name? What is my Wi-Fi name? That is known technically as an SSID.
Ooh.
And do you know what SSID is?
I knew you were going to say that. Sausages, so basically, if it's got an S in it, sausages.
Sizzle.
Sizzling in...
Deep fat. Oh, no, that's...
Internet.
That internet. No, I don't know. No,
exactly. I've got... do you know what? I'm going to say serial something. No.
No, read down.
Oh, you've written it down.
Yeah, go for it.
Hey, that's confusing, but it makes sense. Service set identifier. So ID is ID. Identify. Yeah. I was like, where's the D? And then I was
hang on a minute. SSI. Oh, right.
That's part of the word.
So basically, that's what you call your Wi-Fi. Yep. 99% of people leave it. So it's BT for good.
6291644272347.
Yeah.
When someone comes over and goes, which one do you connect to? And it's like the BT one that ends in a 6F.
Six. Yeah, exactly. Or if you're my son James, you call it Bill Nye, the Wi-Fi guy.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. And you can give them silly names. I've given mine a silly name. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's a silly name. But it's quite fun.
I did know a mate who, a while it's ages ago, they changed it to like, not for the neighbours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would be more fun if your next door neighbour was called Adam and it would go away, Adam. What's his wife at home?
For the neighbours.
Not for the neighbours. So that's basically what you call your Wi-Fi. Again, majority of the people don't change it. Mm. They just have it written on a little piece of card, you know, the little BT thing that slides out in the back. And then underneath that, you've got your password.
So I'm going to play the game here.
Yep.
Because obviously, I know people are going to go, Adam, you know the answer. You've just talked about a few things. But let's pretend I don't. How would you go about changing that name then?
So you would have to log into the router. And again, not that I'm, you know, disrespectful to anybody, but majority of the people will go, no.
Yep.
Yeah, because I'm going to log into the router and, oh my God, it's presenting me with a huge dashboard of icons that I do not want to touch. I'll be a mark. Nope. Not touching anything on that one.
But there is a box that says SSID.
Yes.
And you can change the name there and the password, can't you?
You can. The downside is if you've already connected devices to that name with your password, you've suddenly disconnected them. Because obviously, you know, that's the thing that everybody expects. Just like, why is it? I've changed the Wi-Fi name. I've changed the password.
Yeah,
but it is good common practice if you are if you've given out the password to a lot of people, and we spoke about that previously, which is why you set up your hotspot.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody knows your password; they'll know it forever and a day. Therefore, it's a good idea to change your password. It's a good idea to change your network name because, again, not that you ever would, but certainly if you're a business. You know, now, if we think about what we're doing in here, we, Adam at HubSpot, Andy at Resilient, we naturally give out our SSID name, certainly for the hotspots and the guest one, because you want people to say, look for HubSpot guest. look for RBS Guest from a business point of view. If you're a home user, you know, you're probably sat at home when you very first connect your phone to the Wi-Fi, you're probably inundated with names.
Yeah,
and it's all random stuff like that. So keep it random, but if you ever wanted to go in to change your name, it's, again, it's a fun thing to do because it just means, you know, read family Wi-Fi, walk a family Wi-Fi, you know?
Yeah,
not for the neighbours.
Not for the neighbours.
Not for the neighbours.
Family Wi-Fi.
Exactly, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. So log into your router. Now, I know that you can easily do that because the routers from the internet service providers come with a book, little handbook. And I know people don't like reading instructions, but if you look in there, it tells you how to log into it.
It does. It says 192.168.
Yeah, whatever. The other thing is the password will often be a default password.
It is the default on the router
underneath. On the router.
Yeah, yep. So it's typically on the router. Typically, it's, you know, specified. And the providers highly recommend that you change it.
Yeah.
99.9% of people never bother.
Yep.
Because why would they?
Yeah.
Yep. You're in a home. It's your home environment. It's easy for you. But certainly, if you think about when we were discussing probably a year back now, Adam, when you installed your Draytech router, that's the first thing that I did.
It is, yeah.
I went, right, no, we're changing it. Because anybody can come into your office. And again, we're not seeing that everybody's malicious, but if I opened up the little cabinet that I'm looking at on the wall, if I looked underneath your router, I'm going, okay, I've memorized that. You've given me the RBS guest password or the Adam HubSpot guest, or you could be like, I could log into your router.
So here's an example then.
Yep.
If you are a pub or a cafe and you're a router, you're like, I'll stick it on the side for good signal.
Absolutely.
Because in the back office, the customers can't access it.
Mm-hmm.
They can access those details.
They can. Leaning down, put my coffee down. Absolutely. And the downside is, and we're going to go on to that, you can do some pretty nasty things if you know the admin password, and you can start spoofing. You can start DHP snooping and lots and lots of nasty things. You know, and we do know that sadly the hackers are out there.
Yep.
So there's a lot of things that you can do. But again, for the majority of the home users, unless you're me and you.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that. So, okay, we've just before, because I could see something that says protocols.
Ooh.
Actually, no, I see where you're going with this. Let's go into protocols, okay.
Yeah, you see what I'm coming
what
from.
Are these WEP, WPA, WPA Enterprise?
Yeah.
And what's Radius Server?
Oh, absolutely. So,
if Mark was here, he'd be walking out the door right now.
He probably is. He's probably chucking a wee nut at the podcast now.
Right, a wee nut. Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? I took that with me, actually.
I took that with me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A wee nut is the, do you know when you finish something in the bolts? You've got one left.
Throw it over your shoulder.
Wee nut, apparently you throw it over your shoulder. Right, take me through the first one, WEP.
WEP. So WEP was a very early introduction of encryption protocol.
Yep.
That's what it stands for, WEP encryption protocol. It was devised to basically mean that when you connect your device to your SSID, you needed a password.
Yes.
Okay, so the WEP password for Adam's rare bookshops was Adam1.
That's really secure. I'm glad I went with it. It's easy to remember. It's not. Don't do that.
No, don't.
But unless your name isn't Adam, and then that might be quite a strong password.
Absolutely. Nobody would ever guess it, would they?
Random.
Absolutely. But basically, it was the very first encryption protocol, and I suppose very quickly turned out to be, oh my goodness, this is very insecure. It was very, very easy to crack.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, we're not going to delve into how you crack these things, but there are programs out there that I can specifically use when somebody says, well, I've forgotten my Wi-Fi password, I've forgotten my router login password. I can actually crack the Wi-Fi password. And sadly, whilst it's a useful tool to me, think of it in the opposite way. If a hacker's got that, it's like, I've got you.
Yeah.
I now know your username and password for your Wi-Fi. Sorry, your password for your Wi-Fi. I can gain access to the rest of your network, which we will come on to later.
Yeah.
But WEP was first introduced, nice and secure, early days, but very quickly replaced with WPA, wireless protected access.
Ooh.
Yep. Now, that is the default nowadays for most of the routers at home. And we've got WPA, WPA2, and WPA3. Effectively, the numbers just mean higher protection.
Yeah, right.
It got better and better and better.
Never goes downwards, does it?
Never, ever goes down.
It'd be limited.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that, man. Thanks for putting me straight on that.
Just checking.
So, yeah, the WPA is the thing. Now, again, most people won't really mean a thing to them. They just want to know, what's the password so I can get onto the network?
Yeah, but you should look for WPA to be part of it. Because I've seen the wireless network before, in the past, not recently, in fairness.
No,
I've done it and it said not WPA.
Correct.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, and most of the, if you think about, I'm going to say I can't remember the exact year, but very recently, Apple iPhones and Android iPhones, they started to tell you that you were connected to a Wi-Fi that was not secure.
That's what I've seen,
Yeah, that's what you've seen. So basically it's telling you you're not using the right protocol. Typically, this is more if you've had your router with BT for like 10 years, 6 years, and you've never really changed it, you are probably still using old protocols, and you probably still should change it very quickly.
Which means log into your router.
Log into your router.
Update your router.
Update your router. Again, most people don't know this, but you can actually speak to your provider and just say, look, I've had my router for a long time. Please, can I have a new one?
Yeah.
Most of the time, you can haggle with them, and they will send you one free of charge.
Come on.
You can do that. I've been with you for 20 years. But again, it's to protect their environment, you know, and so they do. The customers don't want you. Sorry, the providers don't want you to have an insecure network.
No, they want you.
They want you protected, and they want you to utilize yourself.
He's smiling at the camera. It's that time. This video of you smiling that we're pulling together, it's going to be like 3 hours long. Right, okay. So WPA. So A, when you aren't about, if it says non-secure on, say, your iPhone or Android, should you be disconnecting it and sticking to your mobile data? Well, or is it a public issue? So there could be someone on there potentially looking at your data traffic.
Yeah, right. So let's think about when you're out and about. So me and you were out and about having a wee pint after the end of a successful
podcast.
Not
one you throw over your shoulder.
Not one that you throw over your shoulder. So we're having a pint after our successful podcast.
Yep.
So about 10 o'clock in the pub,
yeah, all right.
Okay, maybe not.
Yeah,
past. But you will find that most of the pubs and the general commercial areas will give you free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Okay. But it does normally say open unsecured. And what that means from your open and unsecured point of view is that you are connecting to an unsecured network. Okay.
Right, okay.
We do not want to scaremonger people.
No. However. No, we don't. But I think it's important to understand what
it's important to understand that, let's say that you're out and about, you're doing banking on your phone, you're just checking your bank balance. If you are connected to an unsecured network, effectively you are offering your data out to anybody.
Yeah.
Because it's not secured in any way, shape, or form. You've connected to it. And if I was a malicious person, and again, not wanting to scaremongering, but there are easily available programs out there that I could sit in the corner of Adam's bookshop with your Adam 1 password. Yeah. And I can basically crack that, and I can also see, there's Julia over in the corner there. She's logging onto the bank. I can tell that because I can investigate the network traffic. I can snoop. Want of a better word.
And I think to come back to the scaremongering, obviously, for that situation, the person needs to be on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they have to be roughly near.
Yeah, sat in the corner.
Unless they've put something into, like, broadcasting.
I'm going to come on to that, absolutely.
But not to scare people too. No. But it's equally just being aware, I think.
It is. Wouldn't leave the keys to your house door in. So therefore, when you're connecting to an unsecured network, just think of it as, I'm not protected in any way, shape, or form.
I saw, can we just divert? A wee diversion, which kind of related to the Wi-Fi situation. Anyway, I saw a YouTube video, so I'm not validating how accurate this is, okay? Because I don't know, but it was about burglaries. I think it was America. And it was Ring doorbell caught it. And there's a guy stood in balaclava with like a bag with some box in there. And what he's got is this massive aerial. And he's standing at the front door trying to pick up the key signal, because apparently the key signal The car. Apparently, yeah. It's issuing a signal to the car regularly.
Yeah.
To go, I'm here, and the car's like, I'm here. So what they do is they've got this huge aerial and they're trying to intercept the signal.
Yeah.
Which then relays to his mate.
Who's sat there pressing the start button.
Who's sat there. So they amplify the thing and then duplicate it and send it to the car. And then he opens the car.
Yeah.
Starts it.
Now, I saw that, probably not the same video, I saw the exact same thing. And then this must have been about 2 years ago. And then I had one of my friends saying, I got my car stolen. I went, wow. And he went, the odd thing is they just pressed the start button because they had a man holding the Wi-Fi signal and they boosted it. They knew I hung my keys up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They looked through the little windows sometime or whatever. And then they just stood there and went, press the drive button or start engine button. They were away. Which is why I keep my keys in a Faraday bag.
I was going to say that. A Faraday bag. What a Faraday cage is, for those that don't know. Basically, think of your microwave without the microwaving bit.
Yes.
So do you know how when we're cooking food, it doesn't cook you.
Correct.
When you're stood outside the microwave.
Yeah.
And you notice those little wires. Sorry. You notice those little wires on the screen, don't you?
Yes, you do.
That's a Faraday cage. It just stops microwaves in that case.
Or Wi-Fi signals.
Or Wi-Fi signals. Which also can be problematic when you're putting your Wi-Fi through your house.
Absolutely.
Oh, my word. So I diverted and then tenuously linked it without even meaning to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, well, it's metal essentially around something. So, yeah.
And these Faraday bags, you know, I would recommend, shall I say, if you've not got one, Adam, or whatever like that. So my Ford car, literally nowadays, you don't put the key in the fob like the old days.
Yeah. See, mine, you do.
Right. Okay.
So they can't. Drive off with the car because it's got that.
With me, as long as I've got my car keys on me, I walk up, I put my hand on the car handle, it recognises me, as in the key. It recognises somebody.
Hello, Andy.
I'll tell you a little story about that.
Anyway. No, you're not coming in.
I'll tell you a story. It recognises that somebody has put their hand on the door handle and says, I recognise that as a human hand. The keys are in range. I'll unlock the door.
So then I
get in, and then all I do is I press the start button.
So when they're boosting the signal, that's what they do. They're going on like the keys in the pocket.
So what I was getting to is that for, I think it was £5 at the time when I bought them, I bought two Faraday bags. My wife carries one around with her, because just in case, but keeps it on there. And every night when I get in, keys go in the Faraday bag, then they get hung up.
Brilliant.
So I highly recommend that.
There we go, a little tip if you didn't know.
Exactly. So on to my little funny story.
Go on then.
Oh, you sat in your headphones.
I think I am. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, carry on. So funny story is that my friend was round recently. We'd been to the Chelsea football match at the Middlesbrough game.
Yes, and I saw your picture. You looked very happy.
Very happy. Hospitality.
I know.
And he was commenting, my God, you've got everything with Alexa. And I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I? You know, I'm doing all this. The Ford car that I've got has got a little app that I can launch and then I can press and hold the start button on my phone and then it communicates via 4G and it starts the car.
Brilliant.
So it's very good. What did I do? I walked out, and as I walked out, I opened up the app, pressed the start button, but then went, watch this, mate. Alexa, start the car. And he went, no. I went, no, not really.
Drive to me.
Drive to work for me.
It was Jeff Bezos, wasn't it? He's like, he wants to create, essentially, it was Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bridge. Yeah, that's what he wanted. So it's like, do you know, in Star Trek, when they're going, do this to the computers.
Yeah.
That's essentially what he wanted to recreate, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Doesn't he create a replica or something? I'm sure.
It's something like that.
Okay, so
getting back off your divert, which actually was quite a good divert.
No, because it links right into the next thing. So there's this issue around that sort of thing, and we're going to circle back around to signals shortly. Yes. So what, WPA Enterprise, so what's the difference between that and...
That's Jeff Bezos's...
is it?
No.
Oh, right.
Enterprise.
Oh, the Enterprise.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it could be.
So Enterprise is basically just another notched up version of WPA. So with Enterprise, you just have more security around it. And typically, which is what I put underneath, it involves what's called a Radius server.
Yeah, now I haven't... Well, I'll be honest, I don't know what... WPA Enterprise means, is it just more robust?
Yeah, it's just a more robust version of WPA.
So Radius server, what's that?
Remote authentication dial-in user surface.
Ah, VoIP?
No.
Not VoIP? That's
voice over IP. Yeah.
What's it?
So effectively, imagine that you know the password.
VPN is what I meant to say.
Yeah, VPN, but no, very similar dial-in service. But imagine you know the password to the Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Okay.
Adam 1.
Adam 1. In normal, like, you know, mine and your residential land, Adam, once I know the password, I'm onto your Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Okay. What a Radius server does is go, you're connected to my Wi-Fi. Okay, that's fine. Who are you? And you've now got to enter a username and password.
Okay.
Yep. It can also do other things. So, again, you're a well-versed man. If we think about websites, SSL, you know, certificates.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. So what you can do...
Go on, you didn't ask me the abbreviation that's got S's in, and I wasn't going to say sausages.
Sausages.
SSL? Secure socket layer.
Oh, I thought it was secure sausage layer.
Yeah, no, there we go. I actually knew one that didn't involve the word sausage.
Get you.
Secure socket layer.
Yeah, exactly. So a Radius server can either say, okay, you're connected, but who are you?
Yeah.
So you'd put Adam Walker, Adam 1.
Yeah,
probably not. Adam 2, make it more secure.
Don't use Adam 1.
Everywhere.
Anybody.
Anybody. But so not only do you have to know the password to get onto the Wi-Fi, you also have to know your username and password.
To get back in.
If you link that to what we class as the Microsoft Azure, or now it's been renamed to Entra, Entra.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, Microsoft Azure is now Microsoft Entra. But also it's going, well, you must be a valid user. So again, I'm your IT person, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone into your Microsoft, let's call it Microsoft 365.
Yep.
I've set up Adam Walker as a username. I've set up your password.
Yes.
Complicated password, not Adam 2.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Adam 2.
No. I've gone even better. Star Adam !1. It's really secure
now. You've used... everyone goes for number one. Everyone goes for !, but you did put star in, so...
Yeah, exactly. So not only have you do that, the Radius server will just go, okay, well, you better be who you say you are. So assume I'm a hacker, I would log on with password, username, Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Star Andy 737XYZ. No. The Radius server just goes, I have no idea who you are, I'm blocking you.
That's good.
Okay. If you take it one step further, and I have done this for one particular customer, not only do you need the password for the Wi-Fi, not only do you need your username and password, but I've installed a self-generated certificate from the Radius server and I've installed it on your machine.
Ah.
So I go, you know the password. Okay, you've authenticated with the username and password, but unless you've got the certificate on the machine, i.e. you match all three, I'm still not letting you on.
Well,
so that's a really, really secure method.
That's great.
Highly unlikely, though, for your average user.
No, what I have done on our guest network, though, because obviously of various people, you like this. On the guest network, you expire after 3 days.
Perfect. That's called a lease, a DHCP lease, which we'll come on to in a few seconds.
I had no idea that's what it was called.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had no idea. Andy needs to cough. Muting and padding.
There we go. It's just cold again.
DHCP lease, there you go. But so equally... They can be sat downstairs for another meeting with a different client and they're not downloading the world through our internet.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Wireless meshing. This kind of now gets into what
Do you want to go? Do you want to go to IPVs at the top? Do you want to go to the Wi-Fi bands? Because that's the other thing people want to know about.
Okay. Yeah. So what's a Wi-Fi band?
Okay. So when you have your router at home, it's broadcasting.
Okay.
And it's broadcasting on a particular, again, we're going to get geeky and techie, it's broadcasting on a particular gigahertz radio wave. Just exactly the same as a radio signal works, okay? And you've got four, as we said there, but that's going on. When Wi-Fi first came out, 2.4.
Yep.
Okay. So for those of you who are not watching this on YouTube, it's going to be a bit awkward, but because I'm going to use my hand, a 2.4... gigahertz wave, it's a slow wave.
Yep.
It's a long wave.
Yep.
So I'm going up and down on my hand, but it's slow.
So in the world of radio,
it's
like the equivalent of AM?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
It's a long range wave.
Yep.
It's not going very fast. It's going up and down slowly, but it can reach a long way. 5 gigahertz, which is again the more common now, you know, your phone, if I look at it today, it connects in 5. It's a faster wave.
Yep.
It's going up and down much faster, but it can't reach as far.
That's the equivalent of FM.
It's equivalent of FM. So, did a little bit of Googling this morning, and I found out some really nice terms. The lower the number, the fewer wave patterns or repetitions,
okay, yep,
and therefore a longer range, which is yep, what I was just explaining. Think of 2.4 as a country lane. It's not designed for fast, heavy traffic, but yep, can take you long distances over beautiful country hillsides, as I put there.
He has actually written that.
No, no, but it made more sense to me.
Good analogy, I like it. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Whereas think of a 5/6 gigahertz as the motorway.
Yeah.
Multiple lanes, much faster, still can get congested, but obviously, you know, you really can get faster throughput.
Okay.
The downside and the upside. 2.4 is typically used for your smart devices. We were talking about my smart plugs, my lights.
Yeah.
Because they need to go over long distances, but I don't need to have fast throughput. I'm turning it on. I'm turning it off.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm lowering, I'm dimming it.
It's just like a notification type.
That's all it is, Adam. Absolutely. That's a really good analogy. And 2.4 also allows you to go through not heavy brick walls, but brick walls and doors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it's slowly going through and it's going, yeah. Because obviously a door's less dense or a door's denser, so the wave can go through it. And again, we are not expecting fast traffic.
Yeah.
5 gigahertz, much, much faster. Much better for watching YouTube, streaming. Yeah. All of those types of things. The downside is because you get much faster, it can't go as far.
Yeah.
Right. So there's lots and lots of implications. There's times that you can use 2.4 and there's times that you can use 5. And most today's routers are clever enough to go, do you know what? I'll broadcast on both. And if your device allows you to, I will connect you to the faster network.
Well, I had an issue with that very scenario with my internet service provider's router when I first got it.
Yeah.
And it's before I put the Ubiquiti stuff in. It was basically, it was trying to, my phone would be like not working on the Wi-Fi. And I had 5 gigahertz and 2.4 gigahertz. It was in the end of the house, like I said, it's before I put the stuff in. And I was like, my phone, I know, is trying to use the 5 gigahertz because it can. And the router's going, here you go. But it was unable to give me the internet, but it's still trying to.
Yes.
So I had to go into the router and just turn off the 5 gigahertz.
Yes.
And that solved all of my problems because it was no longer trying to go through the faster route. It was just going, no, here's your internet through the lower. And it was like, yeah, it kind of got stuck in between.
Yeah.
And the solution was I turned off the 5 gigahertz.
5 gigahertz. But that's a really good analogy. Your phone is saying, I can do 5 gigahertz. I can see 5 gigahertz, although I'm on the edge of my range.
Exactly.
So the phone would go, okay, I'll attempt to connect to 5 gigahertz.
Yep.
But then suddenly you would go, oh, I can't connect. Or, sorry, I'm connected, but I've got no internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the problem I had, Wi-Fi calling.
Yes.
I live in a village. Yep. I need the Wi-Fi calling. It couldn't sustain it.
It won't. It was
terrible. I had to sit in a very particular position at the start of the phone call.
Yes.
If I was there, not move. Or run outside into the road.
Yeah. Well.
Not into traffic.
Yeah.
But I'd have to go and get away from my Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I'd turn the Wi-Fi off, to be honest. And then I'd go and stand outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Where I knew the signal was good. So it was a huge problem. Everything I've put in since, you can talk anywhere in my house with there. But the issue was, is the internet service provider's router was just not fit. I don't want to say not fit for purpose.
No.
They are decent. But I couldn't support the Wi-Fi calling.
No. So one of the interesting things is now most of the modern routers, they'll have what's called band steering.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So what that means is if your phone, and this is exactly what would have been happening with your phone, Adam, the router will have spoken to your phone and go, actually, you're capable of 5 gigahertz. Yep, I'm going to steer you to the faster method because that's what you want me to do.
Yeah.
The downside is you're just on the edge of my range.
Yep.
So I've spoken to you, I've handshaken with you and gone, here you go, here's the 5 gigahertz network. Your phone went, thank you. It's so, oh, sorry, I've lost you. Sorry, who are you? Oh, there you are again.
Oh, hello.
Bye. Hello, are you back?
Bye.
A little bit like for our older viewers, a little bit like the Norman Collier thing, you know, where it would go, I can't because I'm losing. That's exactly what your phone would have been doing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you turned off 5 gigahertz, the router's now speaking to your phone going, okay, I'll speak to you. Oh, you're on 2.4. Oh, I've got no other options. Fine, I'll talk to you now.
And then it was going, right, you want to do Wi-Fi calling? Well, 2.4 gigahertz turned out wasn't quite quick enough, combined with our internet speed.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
That was the difference there. It's not just that it was the router.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not throwing our internet service provider. As you know, I haven't mentioned them. I'm not throwing them under the bus because it was a combination of our slow internet and our building, the location of the router.
Yeah.
It's in one end of the house because that's where the phone line is, comes in. But I've made changes since then.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, okay.
So that's really where you want to start going about, you know, and again, most routers now from your Skys, your BlueNets and the BTs, whatever, they are clever enough to broadcast on both.
Yep.
The devices that you have in your house are probably clever enough to identify, oh, I'll join to the 2.4, I'll join to the 5. You know, most of them have either, both of them. If you've ever gone into your router, you will see I have 2.4, I have 2.5, and most of them have the same SSID bit with a 2 on the end and a 5 on the end.
Yeah.
And you just connect to either one. You probably make the passwords the same to make your life easier. Now, I know when me and you were talking about the ubiquity land, you know, it's much better because we've got so much more control over it. You know, I'm talking about the bandwidth steering and stuff like that. My phone, when I connect to my network at home, you know, we haven't mentioned this, but I've now upgraded my Wi-Fi to 6. So right. I'm now taking advantage of Wi-Fi 6.
Yep.
So when I look at my phone, I can see the Wi-Fi symbol, but it's got a teeny tiny 6 right in the top left-hand corner. Yeah. So I know I'm connected to 6, and 6 is slightly faster than 5. Yeah. So we're obviously evolving. Wi-Fi 7 was announced.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're now going towards that. But we're talking about the average user at home who is probably just wanting to get to their connection, you know, with their network. But these are some of the things that they can do. If you're working, most people have a home office nowadays.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's go on to that in terms of the range and the terms of the stuff. So some of the things that we're also going to be moving on to is a lot of people ask me about my IP address.
Yes.
Right. You know this because you're a clever chap.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. There's two particular IP addresses or internet addresses that we always talk about. Your internet provider's IP address,
yep,
as in the big wide world of the cloud, and your local IP address.
Yep.
Okay?
Local as in network.
As in local as in
or network.
Network.
In now, your house.
In your house. Let me ask you, with your ubiquity land,
yep,
have you done either IPv4 or IPv6?
I'm going blank.
Ah, because you don't know.
I don't know. I think I've...
No. If you're like me, you've stuck to IPv4.
I think it is.
IPv4 was the generic IP internet address that every single person in the world used, including the internet providers. Okay? So, again, just to dig a little bit deeper for those people listening, when you go onto a website, bbc.co.uk...
Indeed.
Okay? Did you know... You can nod because I know you do know.
I know.
Yeah,
I know where you're going. Yeah.
But when you type in bbc.co.uk, there is something called a DNS server.
Yep.
What does DNS stand for? Because it's got an S in it.
Domain name server?
Not domain name sausage.
No, not domain name. I know this one.
Yeah.
I do this one. Yeah, domain name server.
Okay. And what a domain name server does goes, bbc.co.uk, you actually mean 215.168....
Yeah, basically a long number with lots of dots.
Yeah.
And it goes, is it a register? Would we describe it as that? Like an address book?
An address book. I like that. It's an address book. So when somebody looks up bbc.co.uk, there's a little man in the internet. He looks up the address book. Goes, Gary.
AI.
He looks up bbc.co.uk and returns to your laptop where you're surfing from home, this is the actual IP address that you want.
The computer.
The computer. And then your computer connects to that internet server of that IP address and displays the web page.
Yep.
Right. Now, I had to look this up because I don't know exactly the date. So December 1998, the internet world, the clever clogs people, went, we're running out of IPv4 addresses.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Each IPv4 address is called an octet.
Yes.
Okay? And this is not what this episode's about, but you and me know if we just nod at each other, there are class A, class B, and class Cs.
Yep.
Okay? Class A's, whatever it is, it's out on the internet out there. B and C's is what me and you use at home. Yeah. But the birth of the internet, they suddenly went, let's make things simple for the users. My server's 1.1.1.1. Oh, my server's 1.1.1.2. So you've got 255 of those.
Yep.
255 of the next octet, yep, and the next octet and the next octet. But yep, if you think about how many websites are out there now, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're ran out.
We're there.
Yeah,
we've we're out that number, aren't we? Are you yep going to smile at the camera? She's resetting. You're not doing it. There we go. There we go. Ooh, eyebrow raise.
Thank you. So the yep internet world.
So we've
went,
run out of internet yep God, addresses. Yeah.
So let's basically put IPv6 in.
Okay. And good shout.
Yeah. Basically, IPv4 uses 32-bit addresses.
Yep.
IPv6 uses 128-bit addresses, which means IPv6 offers 1,287 times more addresses.
Wow. That's a lot considering how many already were existing.
Yeah, if you think about how many that, it's like incredible. Yes, he's taking a moment to think
yeah
about
I am
that.
And I'm also thinking, like, why did the jump from IPv4 to IP6? So is it going to be IP8 next?
Honestly, no idea.
Anyway, that's interesting. I like yeah that.
So you and me at home, we're using IPv4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very, very easy to use. Everybody probably doesn't even know. Mark, do you know what your IPv4 address is of your Xbox? Has he got it working yet?
Oh, yeah, it's working.
He's got it working. Got it working. What IP address? Yeah, yeah. What IPv4? If I'm going to guess, it's 192.168.0.something.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And that something is what a DHCP server is, Dynamic Host Control Protocol, I think. I'm yep guessing on that one. Yep. You know, it's a DHCP.
Basically,
server.
It's a number for your device.
Yes.
And so every device in your house, property on that network, whichever, has one of those numbers.
Yeah. Your router typically has the first number. So yep, it's either 192.168.0.1 or 1.1, or if you were D-Link or whatever these other ones, 192.168.0.254.
Yeah.
Okay? But you're absolutely right. What it means is, in order for you to get to the internet, think of it as a little maze, right?
Yeah.
So I give your laptop 192.168.0.10.
Yep.
Right? I'm on the same network as you. So when you say, hello, Mr. BBC, I want to get out on the internet, the DNS server says, where's the internet? Your laptop doesn't know,
yeah,
but
yeah
you know a man who does, and that's me, yep, the router. And I go, thank you, travel down the little yep road.
Come and look at me.
Come and look at me. Now, I don't know what bbc.co.uk is, so I will look at the internet's
yep
DNS server. Everybody knows Google's 8.8.8.8, yep, 8.8.4.4. Yeah, yep. But what Google does is, I don't know, but I know a man who does, and I basically lead you out to the internet yep through what's called the gateway, which is why it's called yeah a gateway. Yeah,
100%.
It allows you through the gateway and onto the internet.
Yep.
Okay, and then when the traffic comes back, the router knows who made that request, and then I give the web page back to you.
And that's the basic process of a network and 100%. Making requests, yeah?
Yep, and every other device in your family atmosphere, if you call it that. So, you yep know, kids,
I like that word. That's
yeah
good.
Yeah.
For Wi-Fi, that's very appropriate.
It's very appropriate. So we can't call them tablets anymore. Smart yeah devices. Yeah.
Still haven't come up with a different name to the kids are on tablets.
Yeah. The kids on their tablets, they've yeah obviously got a different address as you, because you can imagine yeah if you've got the same address as them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, who do I give the web page to?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, so you're do surfing BBC. Lovely kids are surfing YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, benefit.
Parent guided, of course, YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
But I will give the router goes, ah, that's your request, Adam. That's your request, Corey. Yeah. That's your address. That's your address. And so on and so forth. But imagine the home devices, your Alexas, your Amazon Googles. Each one of them, the router has to give it that IP address to go, it was you who requested that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, all of that traffic is going through that network. And again, this is one of the common questions. Why is my network so slow? Well, I've got 50 devices on mine.
Mm.
So a typical Saturday night in the Adam household.
Yep.
You're on your laptop.
Yep.
Kids are playing, streaming
yeah
games.
It could be Xbox. One could be on the Xbox. One could be on a tablet.
Yep.
TV will be on some streaming kind of streaming service.
Yeah.
My PC might be on downloading,
Update. Something, updating because you're doing
yeah
some work.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you just imagine how much traffic? And the router sat there going, oh my goodness me. And yeah, it's literally sat there.
It's like that alien in Men in Black. It just popped in my head
yes
and he did your arms.
Yes.
He's in the post room, isn't he? Like doing yes his letters. That, oh, we need to do a meme for that. That's a great way to describe what your router is.
Yeah, but that's exactly what it is. So all of these addresses are all talking to each other. They're all doing that. So in some cases, it's no wonder people are going, well, why is my internet so slow?
Yep.
Yeah? It's because you've got so much traffic going on. And if you were thinking about what you said previously before you got the ubiquity, if you're on the far end of the kitchen...
Exactly.
You know, it's no wonder that you're going, well, I can't do it.
Yeah, you're going through like three walls.
Three walls, whatever. So, again, now this is recently, probably in the last 2 years or so, where you might have noticed that BT has started giving out these dishes.
They have.
Yeah. And basically...
I can't remember what they call them now.
I can't remember. Yeah, satellites.
Yeah, something like that, isn't
something
it?
Like that.
Yep.
Okay, so this brings us on to another whole ball game.
Yep.
So imagine that you're sat in your kitchen, your little router is sat in the corner where most people put it because they don't want it out and show.
And that's where the plug is.
And that's where the plug is, and that's where it's plugged into the wall.
And you get a cable this long.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're like...
No, exactly. Yeah. I must tell you a funny story about one of my friends, Terry. Obviously, the router's in the corner. You're sat at the other end of the house.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no
chance.
Way.
Not giving it... And even when it is dealing with all the other stuff, it's not that the internet isn't working. It's just your router can't actually reach you.
No.
it's about reach.
Yes.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Meshing.
Meshing. So what the Sky BT dishes or satellites, whatever you want to call them, do is that they allow you to mesh the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And what that means is without the need for an Ethernet cable.
Yes.
The Wi-Fi will talk to the satellite dish and it does this little wavy arm and it goes, hello, dish. How are you? He says, I'm fine. Would you like some internet? Would you like some Wi-Fi? But obviously now I'm further into the house.
Yep.
It now bounces the signal further on.
Exactly.
Okay? And you can do this numerous times. Mm-hmm. You know, you've really just got to work out, well, where's a... What, they call it a black spot, as in I've got no signal. Okay?
I've used the... is it Ubiquiti Wi-Fi Man?
Yes, app. Yeah.
And when you say black stuff, it's like a heat map. Put your walls in and you do it and you walk around and you're like, oh, I'm in a hot spot.
Yeah, oh, I'm in a black spot.
I'm in a cold spot, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So these meshes, these satellites basically just bounce the signal on,
yeah?
And allows you to extend the coverage, which is why they work, and they work exceptionally well, and it really is good from that point of view. The small downside with, if you can imagine, they are using what's called a hidden SSID.
Yeah.
Yeah. To communicate backwards and forwards. So when you're at the other end of the room talking on your laptop to the BBC, it's using the underlying hidden SSID airwaves to say, oh, I'll bounce you to that satellite, I'll bounce you to the router, and then that whole conversation we had 5 minutes ago about who are you, I don't know, but I know a man who does.
Yep.
All of that is done for a tiny, tiny little bit of compensation. So imagine that you've got a country road, you've now got a little cyclist just by the side of you that's copying and transferring the data.
Basically, it's diminishing gradually.
It is.
The further you go, the further you spread them out, it is diminishing.
However, I will state for the average user, probably
it will
never
solve a lot of problem. Can I show you what I did?
Yeah.
So the opposite of meshing. Not the opposite, an alternative to meshing.
Alternative to meshing.
Access point.
Yes.
So, we got new Ubiquiti, can't remember what it's called.
Unify.
Yeah, yeah.
Nano the router.
Yeah, basically, it's brilliant. It's outstanding. And the reason why is, home office.
Yes.
My work stuff is on a separate network.
Yeah.
Kids are on what network? All this.
Well, we're going to come on to that.
Yeah. But what I've done is run a... Power over Ethernet. Don't be put off by this.
No,
you need your router to do it. But basically, instead of you having like a disk to put up and you need to plug it into the power and a network cable, with this, the power and the network cable are in one wire.
Yes.
So all you have to do is run one wire through the house and I've got it to our hallway. And I've got one access point and we've got coverage in the entire house. So the router takes care of one end. One side.
Stop doing that with your
kids. I know, it's in my way. The router takes care of one side and then the access point does the rest.
Yes.
And I can, having been trying to, when I'm working from home, when I'm trying to take a work call, absolute nightmare, to this, I can be anywhere in my house. I can even be in the garden, actually, and take these calls.
The difference is night and day.
It's reliable.
Really is.
in terms of the strength of the calls. And, you know, not that I'm in my garden when I'm working, but like even just a call on a weekend, for example,
yes.
you can pick it up and it's a lot better. But I needed it for that because it was becoming impossible to try and, when I'm working from home or I need to do something from home,
no.
It was becoming impossible to actually do my work. So that is an alternative, which is as strong as, correct me if I'm wrong, an access point. It's like as strong as a router. It's like
powered
it's
over
not doing the routing.
Yeah,
but it's
powered over Ethernet is an incredible thing. So yep. You don't have to that. So obviously, as you'd expect, I've practically wired my house
up. Of course you have.
Because I want Ethernet cables running anywhere. When my son moved into his house, that's the first thing that we did.
Yep.
Because he's a heavy gamer like I am. So is his girlfriend, and they wanted Wi-Fi everywhere. The router was stuck underneath the stairs. And we deliberately did that because
yeah.
we don't need
don't need it.
We don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need to see it. Yeah. It's just there. And then what we did is imagine that as you walk into the room, Adam, imagine that the cupboard under the stairs is on my right-hand side.
Yep.
Okay. The two bedrooms are literally right above me
yep.
and to behind me. We ran a network cable along the skirting board up into the roof,
yep.
Into the ceiling. We then took the floorboards up, found the cable, pulled it up.
Yep. Yep.
Up into the attic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then wired it all the way around and did all of that. But for him, that was probably about a 2-day job, but unbelievable.
Yeah, but the infrastructure is there.
The infrastructure is there.
Yeah.
And he can now expand everywhere.
Yeah.
Because he's running by Ethernet cable. We did install the Ubiquiti. So obviously, working for his dad where he's got a business with Ubiquiti, quite useful.
Yeah.
But no need for power. You literally stick the access point up in the roof. And as long as it's got the Ethernet cable, it then powers it. Now, Dan's got, you know, Wi-Fi 6 everywhere throughout the house. It's phenomenal.
So with those two options between the meshing systems, and by the way, BT do provide them.
Yes, yeah, they do.
For a monthly fee, I think it is.
I think it's a monthly
fee. But you can go to, the interwebs and all of this and look up a mesh system.
Yeah.
They are very straightforward to install. A lot of them can be installed using an app.
100%.
Can't they?
Yeah.
So you just plug them in, the app does the work for you. So if you've got Wi-Fi issues.
Do that, honestly.
Check out a mesh. Or if you wanted to go a bit more advanced, look at an access point.
With meshing capabilities
with
or stuff like that. Or speak to me. Whichever way you want to
do. Or get an Andy.
Yeah. So interesting, just stick on that point. One of the other things that we've heard people do is power over Ethernet, but actually using the electricity sockets. So these have been useful for some of my customers in extreme circumstances. So what you'll get is where the router is, you'll obviously have... A 3-pin power plug spare. There are these devices out there by all, you know, BT, TP-Link, they all make them, Netgear, they all do them, and you plug it into the mains socket.
Yep.
And it uses the main ring to transfer the data. Typically, you must be on the same ring circuit, so like upstairs and downstairs separate, although I have seen them work.
I've never had any success with that. But
no.
It's probably be because of that circuit situation.
It's that circuit.
The last time I tried it, it was when we were renting years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing people do is they put it into a 4-gang socket. And I'm like, no, it
just
doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you plug it into the mains, you then take a network cable off the back of the router into this little tiny plug that then uses the electrical mains to run around the house. And then you can plug another plug of a similar, typically you join them.
Yep.
You plug that into that. It transfers the data, and either that plug has got another network cable in, which I would always recommend, or it can expand your Wi-Fi. Not as good. Limited range, limited speed, 100%, because you're limited to the amount of the main rings, and obviously if anybody's got the kettle on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it does work. However, would like to say a phrase that my wife generally uses. If you can plug it in, a cable is more stable.
Just because it rhymes, so therefore it's true. It is true, though. It is a lot true.
What I was going to say is a little story in the early days about my friend Terry. So Terry Knoll works for a company called N2 Limited, and he was trying to work from home.
Yeah.
And we went round there, we set up his router, and it was in the early days of internet.
Mm-hmm.
So these routers were huge, you know, with huge, massive aerials on them to try and broadcast. And he rang me up one day, and he went, little story, Andy, working away, and suddenly I'm like, it's odd. I'm losing Wi-Fi connectivity. It's like, it's very odd. Went looking around, got to where the router was, and he went, where's the router?
What?
The router had gone. So he looked around, saw it was still plugged in, and went, it's odd. Followed the power cable, right?
Yeah.
Pulled the dresser out where the Wi-Fi was sat, the router was sat on, looked behind, and then looked at the front and opened the drawer. The router was in the drawer, Wi-Fi aerials.
Wi-Fiing the drawer.
Wi-Fiing the drawer. Wi-Fi aerials literally folded down and put away. Said to his young lady, "What have you done?" "Well, it looks ugly and unsightly, so I put it away." He's like, "No, no, 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 no. The Wi-Fi aerial, I need..." So took it out, put it back onto the dresser, went back to the room and thought, "Oh, great, not a problem at all. I'm back to working normally." About 2 weeks later, phones me up and he went, "Another little story to tell you, Andrew." I went, "Okay." He went, "Same principle." Working away and suddenly thought, "That's odd. I've lost my Wi-Fi signal again." Went to where the router was on the dresser. Nope, the router was still there.
Okay.
However, to make it more aesthetically pleasing, his good lady wife had purchased two tiny lampshades and put them on top of the aerial.
That's brilliant. I love that.
Looked beautiful, but
broke
he was like,
the Wi-Fi.
"No." No, took them off.
Two little lampshades.
Two little lampshades. And obviously because they had wires in them, they were just blocking the Wi-Fi signals.
I know, the routers... Although saying that, the Unify one looks pretty snazzy.
Now, I will admit, I had my Unify in the corner of the house when I got the Dream Pro machine. I literally stuck it next to my TV.
That's what it is.
It looks gorgeous.
It does look great.
It does look gorgeous. Okay, so moving on. Now we've got your IPv4, you've got your IPv6. Meshing, I think you can still do that. Again, I would say to people that if you are listening to this and you have got an issue at home with your Wi-Fi signal, try to cable it. That would be my first recommendation for anything, just like you did. Try and run a cable. I know it might look messy, but actually nowadays, you know, you can run these cables through your through your skirting boards or whatever, and it really does make a massive difference to... And I would say, how many of your friends do you know actually do work from home?
Oh.
I would say 100% in my case.
So many now.
Many nowadays, and therefore running the cable is much, much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we have people that, while I work occasionally from home, I sit on the edge of the corner of the kitchen with the Wi-Fi. Okay, I get a good response, but when I'm doing a Teams call or a Zoom call, I'm like, absolutely. Try and set up a dedicated work area, get your cable, plug yourself in, you will not regret it.
Yep.
Right, 100%.
100%, totally 100%. Agree.
So moving on to some of the other things that we do, a lot of people recently were speaking to, one of my friends was recently speaking to me and saying that their Sonos system, Sonos, for those who don't know, is a musical system, which it does speakers everywhere.
Premium one, isn't it?
It's really nice. Struggling like hell to connect to the internet and play songs, okay? Right. And that, big long story cut short, the router that they had what's called multicast disabled.
Okay. Yeah.
So multicast, as we found out at the time for this gentleman who was saying, it basically allows traffic to pass between networks.
Yep.
If you think about your Sonos, it's got its own network system because that's how it talks to all of the remote speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've got your router network, you've got your Sonos network, and it needed this multicast DNS to be enabled because hopping between the two networks just wasn't acceptable.
Yep.
Okay. Again, majority of the cases, you will never need multicast. I don't use multicast. Sorry, am I boring you?
No, I keep yawning. I'm sorry.
Last week it was sniffing.
I slept so well as well last night. Really well.
So do you have a musical system around the house other than her?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and is it a Sonos or is it a separate one?
What have I got? No, actually, I think I've checked because it changed over Christmas.
Oh, did it?
I've in the home office now. There is space for my decks, my DJ decks.
So they're
out, so I can just plug into that. So now, actually, I just play music off there, which is great.
It's different in terms if you have an Alexa or a Google, because they work perfectly over Wi-Fi and get out.
Yeah, and we had those.
Yeah,
and it was great.
Yeah,
because you could say, "Play this in the kitchen."
Absolutely. What was the song that they kept playing?
The poo poo song.
That's right.
That was the kids.
That was the kids.
Didn't even know it existed.
No, not until that's what
it really does.
It really does. But yeah, if you have a Sonos system, just check your multicast. Majority of people won't need it. I don't need it because I use the Google. I use the Alexa app. I use it for that smoking.
He's smiling.
I use it for streaming music or that, so you wouldn't need it.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, a lot of other people, they use iTunes. Apple, very popular mm-hmm. product in terms of that. They've got iTunes streaming around, can't connect, can't do whatever. Apple uses what they class as their own zero network connectivity, and it's called Bonjour. Bonjour service.
I've seen that. Yeah, exactly. I wonder what that was.
Yeah, exactly. All it basically means is you've got iTunes, so whenever you install iTunes onto your laptop, it will install the Bonjour service, and it's used to talk to other Apples around your house.
Okay. Yeah,
so not AirPlay, AirShare.
Yeah, I was going to say, so my TV, for example, is Castable.
Castable, so Chrome Castable.
It's a Google one.
Yeah,
it's Google
exactly.
TV. I used to have the original Chromecast that you plugged into the back of the TV as an option on a HDMI. Do you know?
I've still got one of them somewhere.
I literally found it the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so is that what that is, multicast? So basically, I can put a YouTube video on the TV.
Correct. So if you're casting, if you're doing Bonjour, if you're doing AirPlay, if you're doing Sonos, anything like that, most of the printers nowadays, they come with their own Wi-Fi Direct. Yeah?
Yep.
You will need multicast. However, what I will say is, for the majority of the home routers, it is either going to be enabled and therefore you'll never use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For this particular person, he just, for whatever reason, I think he had logged in.
He had
trying to cure it. And that was one of the issues. He disabled it, not knowing what he was, bless him, but then fixed some aspect of his network and Wi-Fi. But then he was like, I can't use my Sonos anymore. And I was like, that's because you've disabled multicast.
This is off.
Disabled multicast. His Sonos started working, but then he got the rest of the Wi-Fi issues. And honestly, that was down to the fact that majority of them were doing your issue. Oh, I can talk to 5 gigahertz, but I'm out of range.
Yeah.
So we just put some satellites in and bingo.
You know, so I'm saying. Solved.
So the thing is, with most of the Wi-Fi issues that I try and deal with some of my friends or my customers, it's a massive minefield, Adam.
Yeah.
It can be anything.
But it also doesn't need to be, as in the problem could be anything.
Yes.
But the solution...
It's actually quite simple. Yeah, exactly. So one of my, I think we must have discussed this in one of the earlier podcast episodes. You know, one of my customers, Wi-Fi at home, tried numerous different options, the plugs, you know, the extenders or whatever like that, just didn't work. And I basically said, you need ubiquity. Now, again, me and you are, shall we say, in a happy place and we can afford the ubiquity stuff. It's, you know, it's not massively expensive, but it's also not cheap.
Yeah. I mean, you get your internet service provider router included.
Absolutely.
And it is an outlay. And I was looking at hours going, yeah, it is an investment. And I went, but the difference is the stability. And the stability is giving me, it's unbelievable, protected data, all that sort of stuff. But actually, if I change internet service provider, I just change the router.
See, now that's
into the network. The network stays the same.
Yes.
All you do is you just take the plug out of the old one and put the plug of the new one.
Yeah. Slightly diverting there, but that's another interesting point. So I had a customer ring me about 3 or 4 months ago saying, I've changed provider.
Yep.
Yep. So I've gone from Sky and I'm now moving to TalkTalk, I think, whatever it was, Adam. Obviously, TalkTalk had provided them with a brand new router.
Mm.
First thing they did is like, none of my devices connected.
Yeah.
Now, again, no disrespect to this my friend, but he was like, well, of course. Like, the other one would have been BT Sky Hub. This one's now BT. He went, have I got to reconnect every single device? I went, no, what you'll do is probably the easiest thing to do. Have you got the Wi-Fi name and password? He went, yeah, of course I have. I went, log into the router, change the SSID to be the same as... It's like, oh, God for that, Andy.
Yeah, it saves you that job.
It does.
But it is, because it's looking for that ID number, so it can do that. But our internet service provider router, all of the networking is turned off.
Mine is. For my Virgin, I'm literally going, you are a pass-through. Give me the internet, I'll deal with the rest.
Exactly. So that's a great option to have.
No, it is.
Change between it and nothing changes.
Yeah, and I think that's ideal. And it's a little bit like, what was I doing the other day when somebody... Oh, yes, so one of my customers, similar thing, funnily enough, now I think about it, they were moving away from Sky and they were going to a different internet provider.
Yep.
Okay? They were going to lose access to their Sky email.
Okay.
Okay, yeah?
Yeah.
So Adam at Sky, Sky World or whatever the heck it was, they were saying, but now I'm getting a new one called BT Open World. Again, whatever it was. My God, he said, I've got to go into Marks and Spencer's and Amazon and I went, okay, stop. get yourself either a Gmail or an Outlook.com address, yep. and you will never, ever change it again. So it doesn't matter that you get Adam at Sky. It doesn't matter if you get Adam at BT. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got Adam at Outlook.com. And even if you jump between providers, you always have the same email address.
Yeah, not using the internet service provider one.
And just whilst I can, and if I may, another little interesting point. Had a customer ask me the other day, Andy, I've left... sorry, not one of my customers.
Yep.
As in a friend... with a customer, I've left this place of work, but all of my Amazon and my Marks and Spencer and everything, I sent it to my work email address. And I was like, why did you do that?
No.
And most people think it's because, well, I'm going to be at this company forever and ever and ever and ever. And they got and redirected all of their personal emails to their work emails. Can I just say to people, don't ever do that. I know you'll have two email addresses, but please keep your work and your personal separate.
Well, I think we can safely say we both do that and we run the businesses we have. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, dear.
Keep it separate, please. Mm. But going back to what I was saying, really good idea that if you've got a Sky at or a BT at, do it now where you migrate to an Outlook or a Gmail. Yeah, we can certainly, you know, both of us can help with this one, Adam. You can put a redirect on your Sky
one. You can. I was just instructing the client of this the other day, actually.
Fantastic idea. You can redirect, so anything if I email adam@sky.co.uk will automatically redirect to adam@outlook.co.uk. Yep. You can then keep that for a while whilst you go in, not in a rush, not in a panic, but you can log on to your Amazons and change your email addresses and then eventually get rid of that. Don't ever use your Sky one again. And it means if you do move provider, you move house, you do whatever, you've always got the same email address.
Yeah, I think a lot of the takeaways from this today, yes, we talk business, yes, we focus on businesses, but actually just in the home environment, I'd say the most common issue that I see is the email situation where people need to migrate things and move things around. It is easy done, I'd say. We can help. The getting the reach on your Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
That's the next biggest thing. And it'll make your life so much better just at home. I know it's frustrating, Wi-Fi. We've been having an issue with our TV.
All right.
Can I share this with you? Because this you might answer me. Like, troubleshoot this. It is, we're trying to load Netflix, say, or BBC iPlayer or whatever. We're going to load the program and it's just hanging. It's not going through. So I was like, right, what's going on? So I wired it.
Yep.
Okay. So I thought, maybe it's a Wi-Fi issue. I'll hardwire it. Still was doing it. Right. And it's got progressively worse. So then I went into the settings. And what I found is if I powered down the TV, literally turned it on, turned it off and turned it on again.
Hey, that's my line.
It would then go, it's working.
Yes.
So I was like, right. So I went into the settings on the TV. It's a JVC TV. Went into the settings. We looked at storage and there was a thing called cached.
Yes.
And I clicked on it.
And cleared it.
Cleared it.
Yeah.
And then it worked.
Yeah.
The problem is I am having to do that very regularly now. It's like, so if you don't know what caching is, it caches the data, like gets the data. So sometimes when people goes, I can't access a website, one of the first things you'll often be asked is, have you cleared your cache?
Yeah.
So that's in your settings and history bit. And normally it says cache data and you can clear it. And it just means what cached it does is it puts the files into your computer. So instead of having to load the full website again, it goes, oh yeah, I remember all these images, here we go. Now the problem is if there's been a change at the server level, you end up seeing either nothing or the old stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, cleared it with the TV, load the streaming service without turning it off and on again, just straight in there and it works. But I'm having to do it all the time.
So two things that I will say. One is just slightly diversing, and you will know this 100% because we both deal in people working with websites. Mm. Control F5.
Yep.
Which basically says, don't look at your cache on your internet browser. Go out to the website and re-download it fresh.
Yep.
So I get that way saying, I've changed the website and I'm like, it's not, I can't see
it. Yeah, I can't see
Control F5.
Yeah.
Oh, it's working now. Because Control F5 says, do not use the cache. Go out
directly. Load the fresh version.
And get a fresh version. About your JVC TV, unusual.
Very.
Very unusual. I would probably say, have you checked the firmware update for the TV? Yeah.
It's doing my head in.
Right, okay.
It is doing my head in.
JVC support. Because that's the only thing that they you cannot be the only person that's had
this issue. I'm like, please release a software update. Surely there's
how old's the TV?
It's not a few couple of years. It's not like it's not recent enough.
Yeah, recent enough.
Yeah, it's doing our heads in.
I can imagine. Like
we've solved the internet problem and then the TV's doing this. So there we go. There's a little troubleshoot from myself.
So just before we switch off, I know you want to talk about it. Explain to the viewers about your hotspots and VLANs.
Yes, so VLAN. I, in fairness, I didn't know a lot about them.
No,
I knew a lot about other stuff, but I didn't know. I knew they exist, so I was like getting inquisitive. VLAN, virtual local area network. Basically, it's like setting up another network without physically setting up another network. I.e., you haven't set up new wires. You haven't had to set up another set of routers or Wi-Fi access points or meshes or anything like that. It all runs through the same thing. And the idea is the router is running a number of networks right. that people can connect to with a different, it'll have a different name, SSID,
yep.
and it'll have a different password. So you could have not for the neighbors, this is my internet, get off, don't touch this, as your three networks.
On the network that don't touch this is the password MC Hammer.
yeah, we can set that. And you might have, don't touch this, could be all of your Alexas, Googles, and all of those. And that what that means is they are then connected. It could be a TV
yep.
situation. They are all in one network on yep. their own, so they can talk away without affecting any devices or anything else. So if there's ever a problem with those devices, they can't reach the others.
Correct.
Work One, for example, I've got is, or corporate, as we'd call it, Absolutely. in the business world, that's your work devices.
Yep.
So all your work devices on there. Don't let anyone sign up to it and don't give it out the password. That is for that network.
Yep.
Okay, for work, say. And that keeps the Google and Alexas and all of those on their own network and separate to your work thing. And then you've got, say, not the neighbours or whatever, yep. and that could be your family one. That's just what everyone's connecting to in the house. And then you could have a guest one.
Yes.
So you can choose how many you set up.
Oh, absolutely. If the router allows it, yeah.
Yeah, if the router allows it. But let's say you had a work one, a family one, maybe a smart TV
and
devices,
one, yeah.
and a guest one, right? So you could have four. And then you only get the guests when they come to your house. They only sign up to that. And what you can do with that is set it up so it isolates them
Correct.
From the other guests. So if someone had malware, I've got kids growing up in years to come, they'll have friends.
Yes.
What if they've got malware on their phone?
Because you can't.
I don't know.
No.
So what I want is, let's say they come in, they want the Wi-Fi. Great. But you're going on this network over here that's nowhere near any of our stuff. And if there was any malware, it can't jump nope. across. So it's about different buckets for different,
I like that.
Different devices. Protection, cybersecurity. You can actually limit the traffic as well.
Yes, you can.
Yep, so you can like restrict how much data is going through. Parental controls.
Yeah, you can do all that of on. That.
Yeah, ad blocker.
Yeah.
You know, all of those sort of good things that can help you. Deep packet inspection. Sounds really terrifying, but it just does it.
No, it just does it.
Yeah, so, I'm a big believer in it. And I'm newer to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over the years, but it's great. Yeah. I love it. It's a peace of mind.
I think it is. I think to wrap that bit up, the majority of new BT hardware, new Sky hardware I've seen, have got the guest capability.
Have they?
Yeah, I Brilliant. Think so. I think I've seen it recently. Whether or not, I can't remember whether you had to turn it on by default.
Mm.
But if you log into the router, and obviously that's a scary thing to say to your average home user, log into the router. What? Why would I do I that?
No.
But hopefully it's a single tick.
Yep.
And it's like, well, that's my guest network. And the router's clever enough to do everything for you. But then just, you know, make sure you just do that and say, well, oh, can I connect to your internet? Yes, but please connect to the guest
Even
one.
If you just had, this is my house internet for
yes.
everyone that lives in the house. And this is for people who don't live in the house.
Yes.
And that's the guest network.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They go on the guest network, you stay off that. It isolates them, keeps them away from your stuff.
100%.
Because you never know what malware, viruses, all of the nasty stuff could be. You just don't know.
You don't know, Adam. And the other thing is to take into account, assume that I come to your house, assume that you've given me your Wi-Fi password,
yeah.
Not a guest one, you know, so you've only got a single network. Assume then that I get hacked. That
exactly.
person has now got your username and password for the Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Now, again, we're not trying to scaremonger, but I could then. That hacker could sit outside of your house,
yep.
log on to your network,
and go again.
After about 20 minutes go, for goodness sake, how do you live with this internet, Adam?
Yeah, yeah.
He's on your internet.
Yeah, 100%.
He can access your devices. He could access that. He's in there. Once he's in, absolutely. So, you know, it is a common thing for people. Oh, can I have the network password? Yeah, yeah, just give it out. Please don't.
Yeah, unless it's a guest situation.
Unless it's a guest network.
Away from your device. Just a good practice.
Good practice to absolutely do it. Do you think we geeked out enough there?
Do
you feel all geeked out?
Yeah, I mean, we're going hour and 20 about networking.
Wow.
I don't know. Hopefully it's helpful. Like, if people wanted to learn a bit about networking, hopefully it's give a bit of idea. What I'd say is get in touch. Resilient Systems on Insta or HubSpot Media on Twitter.
Absolutely, yeah.
HubSpot Media on anything. And you, really, Resilient System. Yeah. But, like, get in touch, ask a question. If you need an Andy, he's there.
Definitely. And you know some good stuff about guest networks now.
I do indeed. But I'm going to have to try and figure out this TV issue.
Yeah, that does seem like an odd one.
Odd.
Very odd.
Driving me nuts.
No.
So.
Anyway.
Weekend. What are you doing?
I want to say that we have some very... I've got a very nice friend that I think is providing me some hospitality tickets to the Middlesbrough Rotherham game. The downside is I'm not sure that I'm up to it.
Yeah.
Michelle is very poorly at the moment, bless her.
Yes.
And I've done well today, but it's definitely...
Yeah, your voice has stayed with you.
Yeah, it definitely has, but it's raspy as anything, so not sure. Going to a very cold stadium and roaring at the mighty Borough.
Yeah.
Will do me the best of good. So I think, unfortunately, I'm going to have to give that a skip. Michelle definitely is. She's just not up to it at all, bless her.
Do you want to come play rugby with me instead?
It's
freezing cold at the moment.
Oh, my goodness me. Definitely the old saying. I had somebody send me an email the other day, God bless them, and he said, "Hi, Andy, I hope you're doing well. I've just passed a monkey looking for a welder."
Right.
Well, for that old saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So a little bit of automation. I said to you last week I was going to start on our little mini project between Resilient and HubSpot. So I've created a form that now automatically creates a Teams channel.
Did you do that?
I've managed to do it.
Great.
Oddly enough, and this is the same with any programming that I do, Adam, to actually get it to do that was like half an hour's work.
Yeah.
That's quite easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The hard bit is now going, what happens if somebody sets up the same team name? So I was going, I'll set up a team name, and I called it Andy Test.
Yeah.
Bingo. There it was. Yay. Right. I'll set up another Teams channel called HubSpot Media. Obviously, it exists. The floor crashed because it went, don't exist. I spent the next hour and a half going, right, if this tries to create it and it already exists, skip it, post to the Teams channel to say, I've already, this is already done.
Yeah.
But the way that I'm trying to do the automation is not only am I creating the Teams channel, I'm reading from a SharePoint list that says, what folders do you want to create for this Teams channel?
Okay.
Remember we spoke, admin, blah, 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 blah.
Social media. Yeah, whatever.
So what it's then going to do is it's going to create all these folders. Again, to do that was half an hour's work. And then somebody's already created the folder called quotes. Skip, but move on to the next job.
It starts getting tricky.
So it starts getting tricky that you've got to debug your own program type thing. So yes, definitely going to do that for a bit of fun. You didn't contact me last week about Factorio.
I didn't.
Because you were busy? Or did you just forget?
I didn't forget. I was thinking about it, actually. I've added you on Discord. You haven't accepted.
Oh, right, okay.
Take it personally. I added you on Discord 2 weeks ago.
Oh, right, okay.
I did it that day.
Are you free any time this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be on tonight.
On tonight? That's my horrors night tonight.
Oh, is it your horrors night? I will be. I'm DJing tomorrow night.
Oh, where are you?
Playing rugby. I'm down at the Golden Lion in Northallerton tomorrow for a party.
Beautiful.
I don't know much more than that at the moment.
Golden Lion in Northallerton.
Yeah, it's on the High Street. Really fantastic place.
Sorry.
Really good.
One of my customers is the Golden Lion. I think it's in Osmotherley. A beautiful place.
That's a great place. Oh, yes. Yeah.
We do the website.
I'm there. Do you?
Yeah,
brilliant.
Exactly.
Visit them.
So how about Sunday? A bit of Factorio.
Yeah, we'll do that on Sunday afternoon after the rugby training.
Yeah, more rugby training.
Kids. Under 19. What was I going to say? Oh, and the last thing, I've started dabbling in the CRM system. Just to explore it.
Which particular one?
I'm on monday.com, which Michelle said you're not
yes
the biggest fan of, apparently. But I'm dabbling. I'm learning. It's a bit of upskilling
and
experiencing.
Don't get me wrong, Monday.com is exceptionally good.
Yeah.
What Monday.com excels at is making things easy for people, which is great.
Yeah.
They charge for it.
Yeah.
My issue
is... This is the free version right now.
Yeah, the free version. My issue is that... My issue is that you can program teams to do a lot
of... Yeah, I was going
to
ask you about that.
The downside is, and I get it, Adam, you have to... You need an Andy.
The amount of work that needs to go into it.
Yeah, the amount of work to do it. But Monday.com is great for what it does. I've got a customer that uses it, and I've seen it, and I'm like, that's phenomenally clever.
It is very user-friendly.
Yes.
We were just trying to track everything that we're doing. We're reaching out to people. A famous saying, reaching out, contacting people.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. We're just trying to, catalogue what we're doing. And also when people are talking to us, because you've got to get it out your head. That's the issue.
100%. What I'll probably say is that with some of the stuff that me and you are working on, you could probably, is the free trial of Monday.com free forever, or is it like after 30 days you must?
I think it's saying I'm in the trial period, but there is, I don't know whether they've put the extra things in and then it goes back, but there are some free version.
Yeah, so what we may be able to do is use the free version, and for the premium features, maybe you speak to me and we go, actually, I can create that for you.
I just haven't used one. I have used one.
Yeah.
But I haven't personally gone, right, this is how we're doing it. But I just feel there's a gap in what we're doing.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
In terms of doing that, so. Yes, right, well, have a good weekend.
Same to you, my friend. Hopefully, so have we got anybody planned for next show?
Yes and no.
Yeah, oh, thanks for that, mate.
Yes, we've got plenty of people, but we haven't actually discussed which one we're going to get in. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've got about 4 or 5 people lined up.
I had someone the other day as well.
Well, I thought you... forgive me.
I had...
Claire?
Yes, I need to speak to Claire.
Yeah, Claire from the college. Dan from downstairs.
Yeah. Dan from downstairs.
Well, why do...
Jason.
Oh, Jason.
We put that reel out saying how much you hate Jason.
You did not.
I completely... Yeah,
oh, no.
It was good.
Jason, I love you. You know I love you.
Real Lena, you're going to have to do that one.
I don't love him, really.
So, yeah. So, yeah, we need to talk off her. I had a random inquiry coming through our HubSpot side going, hey, I do marketing stuff.
Sorry, I must tell you something. Go on.
Completely caught, like, I want to come on your podcast. I was like, I can't tell if this is genuine.
Right.
Or this is...
Was it the person on TikTok that said...
It wasn't the chipmunk.
No, it's still my line again. Can't,
this is where you're like, is this... This looks very spammy, very...
Yeah.
You know, it's like marketing and automation, but it was tailored to. And I'm like, has a bot cleverly, like, have they done this so well that a bot has inserted this? But it was personalized.
Right, okay.
And there's a few things in there. And I was like, I can't tell.
Okay.
I deleted it.
Right,
I wasn't sure. I couldn't tell. So if you're listening and it was you, get in touch again. But please make it feel like it's... Real.
Exactly. Not a real, but real.
Not a real. Right. But like,
okay, right. Well, have a great weekend, everybody. Take care.
Bye.